Queridos hermanos y hermanas, as the years go by, we learn what it is to attend events, not because we want to, but because we just have to. Maybe it's something associated with work, and we're expected to attend. Or maybe it's a retirement party of some kind, or a community project that you really don't want to go to, but you don't necessarily have a choice. It's wonderful to be retired in this sense for me, that I can go to the ones I want to, and that there are things that I say, no, I don't think so, and I find a reason not to be present. It's really wonderful. But we know there are times when you have to go and you don't necessarily want to. Maybe it's a family gathering, and you just know there are going to be difficult people present. And so you grit your teeth, but you have to be there, so you go, never realizing that there may be other people thinking the same thing about us. But that's another story in those kinds of family gatherings. I remember when I was first part of the faculty at St. Francis Seminary, that's a good many years ago, I was whining and complaining about having to do something. And Monsignor Schuett, wonderful rector, said, Chart, that's what he called me, Chart, he said, you don't have to like it, you just got to do it. And that was kind of the way it was with some events in life. We understand. There are other kinds of events, and it depends on our personality and depends on our interest, other events that we give an eye tooth to be present for. And we can make up our own list. For some people, it might be the Oscar Awards. They would love to see them. And they stand outside and watch everybody marching in out of curiosity and maybe envy, I don't know. Or there are others who would just love to be present for a GPA golf tournament and would, you know, walk up and down the course and check every single swing. Maybe a Super Bowl, it's better on television, but you don't catch the spirit of it you're watching on television. Maybe people would love to be at a Super Bowl. Or a royal wedding, and they didn't get an invitation, so they get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and watch it on television. I don't know, all kinds of things. We'd love to be present. Sometimes we make it, and sometimes we just on the outskirts. Yesterday, the 52nd anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Council, I was very conscious of that. Conscious of it because 52 years ago, I was present, as I've told the story before, in Rome, standing in the Piazza of St. Peter's and watching people go in and saying, oh, what I love to be present inside. And I saw one older bishop with a great big suitcase of praying clothes, and I thought, this is my chance. And I jumped over a barrier, which I could do then, but I can't do now, but I jumped over a barrier and went up to him and asked if I could possibly help him carry his suitcase. Well, he was happy to have that kind of assistance, and by God's grace, you know, there I became his secretary for one day. And I was in St. Peter's for the opening session of the Second Vatican Council. And every time I see the statue of Pope, blessed Pope John, whose first solemn feast was yesterday, the anniversary of the opening of the Council, I think about that wonderful event for me. When I got into something I really, really, really wanted to be present for, and had the remarkable experience of, at the end of the Mass, taking the oath of fidelity administered by Pope John to be faithful to the teaching of the Council, whatever they would be. And that's what we did. And it was a wonderful moment. My point is, there are some things we go to because we have to. And there are other things we'd love to go to. And when we have the experience of going to those things, it's something like preparation for the final celebration of the world's history. Thinking about all those events, things we really want to attend, whatever they may be, is an excellent background for this morning's gospel. God's personal invitation to a great, great banquet at the end of time. And Jesus says, call it a wedding, if you will. There are other descriptions of that final event, a little bit more like a Nuremberg trial. But we put that aside for a moment and say, let's just think about a wedding. Those of us who are single, those of us who are married, those of us who bear the experience of some relationships that got sour and didn't work out, all of us still can take a look at a wedding and find some kind of wonderful peace in that experience that enables us to have an insight, as Jesus suggests, into the end of the world. Weddings bring families together, whole families together, because we all know you don't just marry the person you love, you marry the whole tribe. They all come along somehow or other. So it's bringing friends together. Sometimes people you haven't seen for years come to weddings, and so there's an element of a great reunion in a wedding. There's also the fact that there's an abundance at a wedding, whether it's a big one or a small one. People go out of their way to make it and pay debts, who knows, for months or years, but they go out of their way to have some abundance at a wedding. Go out, all of them. So there's some generosity that's part of a wedding. New beginnings. Parents are at weddings. Man, anybody who's ever been married, and you know, a marriage, it takes a lot of work, and sometimes it doesn't work out, no matter how hard you work. But there's often a tear in people's eyes when you see the hope and the expectation, the wonderment of a wedding, and you think, oh, they don't know what it's going to cost. But it's a wonderful thing for everybody. Jesus imagines the history of the world, the whole world, like preparation for a wedding. And in this parable suggests that, yeah, all the difficulties we have and the disagreements and the things that don't work out, because that's always the case in every wedding, whether it's a misspelling that you suddenly discover in the invitation, or the place where you want to have your reception agrees and then says, oh, by the way, we discovered we got a commitment, we can't take you. Whatever, you know, there's some problem in preparation for a wedding. And so, a sense, all the problems of our lives and all the problems of history are kind of put into that larger context for a moment, as we recognize that there is a way in which we can look at all of life and see it as a personal invitation from God to be part of an enormous party of celebration. And there's an RSVP at the bottom. And we're invited to say, yeah, I could do that. And we're invited to figure out what kind of gift we could bring. Who doesn't want to go to a wedding, especially if it's somebody you care about? Especially if it's somebody you care about. And we can look then at all of experience as somehow participation and preparation. Every time we care about somebody else, it's part of the preparation for the great wedding feast. Every time we do something to make another person happy, every time we express knowledge and care for someone, every time we go out of our way to celebrate life, every time we overcome disagreements and arguments, it's like preparation for a great wedding. God loves us so much as to invite us. God says, I have a reserved place for you. God says, there are no different degrees of tables. It's a head table for the whole world and all of history. And there is a place card for each of us there. And we are told, your presence is itself the gift. And it's a wonderful thing to think about all of life in that context. And the disagreements and the preparation, things that don't quite go the way we expected, that's the way it is. It's part of preparation for this wedding feast to which you and I and the people we don't necessarily like very much are all invited. And God is delighted.